I'm Dime Roberts. We're listening to a clip from performing artist Sumi Kim from her collaborative work called Change. It's about the life and final act of protest by Philadelphia artist and activist Kathy Change. The work is presented by Boom Arts and runs December 7th with a preview and then runs through till December 10th at the Headwaters Theater in Portland. We'll talk with Sumi Kim, formerly from Beaverton, who is now a visiting artist from New York City. So stay tuned. This is Stage and Studio. I'm Dime Roberts. With me in the KABU studio is performing artist Sumi Kim. Welcome to Stage and Studio.
Thank you so much, Dime. It's nice to be here with you.
And welcome back to Portland. It's so great to have you here. We finally
it's been
meet.
So fun.
We've been Facebook friends for a while. And,
yeah.
And you have come through Oregon. And sometimes, like, you know, we try to get together and it didn't happen. But this time, we did it.
Yes.
You're here.
Yes.
You made it.
Yeah, finally.
So.
The famous Dime.
The famous Sumi Kim. Come on. So, you know, you grew up in Beaverton. What's it like every time you come back to this area, to the Portland area? What's it like for you? What do you notice for the changes and stuff?
Well, I grew up actually in Lebanon, Oregon, which is, you know, down.
Oh, I did read that.
South from here. So I lived in Lebanon from the time I was 5 to 14, and then we moved to Beaverton. So I went to high school in Beaverton. So most of my childhood was in Lebanon. When I come back to Beaverton, it just feels like part of my past and a time where I was kind of feeling like I was trapped in the suburbs, to be honest with you. And I really kind of wanted to be more connected to Portland and the urban life and where things were happening, but I just felt kind of like just a little bit too far away.
Well, you know, that's so interesting because we do have a lot of commonalities because I grew up in, you know, in rural Oregon as well, in a small town, Junction City.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, I know this area that you speak of. And also just being born overseas. I was born in Taiwan. You were born in Korea.
Busan, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So this is, you know, so this is interesting, you know, your experiences growing up here and then moving to the big city, you know, to New York City.
Yes.
And what are your observations in the differences, especially as a working artist? As an Asian American working artist
between Portland and New York, well, it's been so long since I have actually worked in Portland. It was in 1991 to 1992. It was a really fruitful year for me though because I was active in working with Do Jump Movement Theater. I performed and toured with them for about a year, and I did also some freelance dancing and acting when I was here. And it was wonderful. All the experiences were just very enriching. I guess the biggest difference is the diversity, you know, not only the diversity in terms of demographics and ethnicity, but also in the style of work that's available to you and the type of access that one would have in New York City to see like a really large range of different styles of performance, whether it's dance, theater, or music. I mean, it really kind of is, in that way, the theater capital of the world. So yeah, I haven't been to Portland in integrated into the scene in a while. But I do think that there's a lot of great things happening in Portland. And I know that there's a thriving arts community. And when I was here, I was really into jazz. And so I would go out and listen to a lot of music. And I know that, you know, festivals like Pika are really popular and well-known, getting more kind of exposure through the arts world.
And now you're here with Boom Arts.
And Boom Arts, I was going to say, is also a great little presenting organization that's bringing work of people like myself, I guess, you know.
Well, you know, I'm trying to figure out how to, I don't want to, you know, categorize your work, but when you describe your work, it involves a lot of movement, it involves a lot of dance, but it's also textual, it also is theater. How would you describe it?
I would describe the works that I have been kind of co-creating, devising, and collaborating for like the last 10 years to be biographical narratives of Asian American visionaries whose lives were cut short, and they are created in a hybrid form, in a devised hybrid form, in a very movement-based multidisciplinary genre.
Yeah, well, yeah. I think you said it extremely well. In case you just joined us, you're listening to Stage and Studio. I'm Demi Roberts with my guest, Sumi Kim. Her provocative work, Change, and I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, because it's C-H-A-N-G with brackets that's, E, so Change is part of the Boom Arts season, and Kim is collaborating with Suzy Takahashi in Change, an homage to the late artist and activist Kathy Change. I want to talk about that, but you just premiered also My Little China Girl, and that was a commissioned piece that you did a world premiere of. It was a solo piece, I believe, in New York. It was very well received. You got a lot of press for that piece.
Thank you.
And it was based on a David Bowie song? Tell us more about that one.
It was an autobiographical solo work. Yeah. So it actually focused in on a certain period of time in my life, which is actually took mostly place in Beaverton. So the window into that time of my life happens to kind of be through David Bowie's China Girl video, which is the kind of entryway in, if you will, into the music
with
video,
the pop culture entry.
Exactly. Yeah. And like for me, it specifically puts me in a time and place in the 80s in my dad's room watching MTV and kind of as an escape. And then all of the things that were happening in and around my life surrounding that time period is what my piece is about.
Well, and you know, that sounds like a fascinating piece too. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I hope you come back for that one too.
Yeah, that would be great. I would love that.
But the work that you're doing now at Boom Arts, and you know, for those of you listening, you can follow along at boomarts.org or stageandstudio.org or kboo.fm/stageandstudio, and you can read along and see pictures as we talk. Sumi, the work you're presenting with Boom Arts is called Change, and it's a collaboration with Suzy Takahashi. And you mentioned it's a series paying homage to underrecognized figures of Asian American visionaries whose lives were cut short. And it seems like there's quite a few. Why did you select that? What was your affinity for this topic?
Well, it kind of happened organically, because when I was interested in making or creating work that I felt kind of like personally drawn to. The first one was about Bruce Lee. And that came out because I saw this interview between Bruce Lee and Pierre Burton that was recorded in 1971. It was the only English-speaking interview that I think Bruce Lee conducted, and then it became sort of like a famous, you know, there were all these sound bites that came out of that interview, like, empty your mind, be like water. You know, that whole, all of those kind of catchphrases about Bruce Lee came from the interview. And when I first saw it, I was just somehow compelled to transcribe the interview. And from there, it kind of grew into a performance, like a play. You know, I collaborated very closely with a writer named Derek Nguyen, a Vietnamese-American playwright and writer and filmmaker. And he ended up writing the script, and we worked very closely on the collaboration of it and the research part of it, and then asked Suzy Takahashi to direct it. From there, and I play Bruce Lee, in case you were wondering.
Of course. Why not?
It's obvious. So from there, I was introduced to the work of Dictée, which is a literary collage written by a Korean-American artist poet named Teresa Hak-Kyung Cha. And when I discovered this work, I just was really fascinated with the material and text and was looking for some other kind of project to sort of sink my teeth into in terms of exploring the life of dance and theater and text and movement and rhythm, and collaborating with a musician named Jen Shu. And, you know, so that book came to me, and then I learned later that Teresa Hak-Kyung Cha was murdered and raped and strangled and murdered in the Park Building in 1982.
Wow.
She was only 31 or 32, around the same age as Bruce Lee when he died. And so it was a coincidence. And from there, Kathy Change was brought to my attention because of Dictée. A friend of mine, a playwright friend of mine, Kip Chang, saw a run-through of Dictée, and there's this kind of thematic through line of female martyrs in the play, in this dance theater work. And he said it reminded him of Kathy Change, and he had wanted to write a play about her, but didn't end up doing it. And so I began to read about her, and that's how that started. And then I got an artist in residency at Here Art Center. So it was one of those it was one of those things that sort of like grew organically.
Well, that's kind of what, you know, new art is about. You know, one thing leads to another, yeah. leads to another. I mean, there's always a chain of events. And mm-hmm. somehow, you know, for me, it's like a sign from the universe that right. this is the path
yes.
that you need to take,
yeah.
right?
It wasn't intentional.
No, you know, but it happened. And that's the yeah. way it's, that's what the work yes. you're supposed to do. So Change is a world premiere of an updated version of, yeah. of the play that you're doing with Boom Arts. And I honestly hadn't heard of activist and mm-hmm. artist Kathy Change before. Mm-hmm. She was born Kathleen Chang.
Yes.
And she died. And this is a horrible thing. Yep. She died in an act of self-immolation. Mm-hmm. It's an act of protest mm-hmm. in Philadelphia in 1996. Yeah. I mean, that alone. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us more about her? What led her to this act mm-hmm. of protest?
Mm-hmm. That's a loaded question.
I'm sure it's a
topic.
Long one, but I'm just thinking,
yes.
you know, why?
Why?
How does an artist arrive at that? Is that one yeah. of the things that you try to deal yeah. with in your mm-hmm. in your play, your mm-hmm. theatrical work, Change?
So when I first started this project, there was actually not that much information about Kathy online. And she died in a time where there was no social media. And there was no, you know, internet was not something that was widely used. So I had no video footage of her. I had nothing that I could refer to in terms of like audio, you know, or any kind of...
There's no archival stuff.
Yeah. yeah. And so I just started, you know, put on my journalist hat and made a list of names from articles that I read about her and started finding people and reaching out to them. And then I found this guy. I guess I'm just giving a little bit of context to the piece and then I can go into the answering the question. But this guy named Brendan McGeever, who went to UPenn and was a sophomore at the time, in 1995, he interviewed her for a campus radio show. And I found Brendan, and we had a conversation through Skype, and he told me he thought that he had the recording on cassette tape recording of that interview. And I was like, wow, that would be so amazing an amazing find and a gem. So he found the interview and sent it to me, or let me have it to digitize it. And that interview is over an hour long with Kathy and Brendan, 1995, on the campus of UPenn, and that was like almost exactly 1 year before her self-immolation. So I transcribed that interview, and then segments of that interview actually made it into the play, which, you know, Brendan became a central character, one of the central figures in the play. And through that process of researching and talking to people, I was able to create some relationships with some people that were friends of hers. And I know it's a very sensitive topic to talk about Kathy's mental state, because that's not something that people that were very close to her wanted to focus on, because, you know, she was so much more than somebody that was like, you know, she spent so much of the latter years of her life being dismissed as crazy that it just sort of like discounts all of her brilliance and her genius and her ability to kind of forecast what was in store for us, you know, as a nation and as just sort of politically what was going to, where we were headed. So a lot of her politics were about major talking points that we are so in the norm of discussing today, like about the environment and about big government and war in the Middle East. So many
things that are still going on that are even more
exactly
exaggerated.
And she was really yeah. like, she really thought the economy was going to crash, which, you know, it did.
It did.
but for with her, her desire was to have the economy actually really, really crash, and so that we would be forced to kind of rise up and start over and create a revolution and self-govern, basically. So she was pretty radical in her ideals, but now they don't seem as radical. And with the uprising of the Arab Spring and all of that, it seems kind of like things, you know, events that were kind of in line with Kathy's belief. And so to answer your question about her self-immolation. So Kathy was performing and renting and doing, she would perform on the campus of UPenn daily for about 15 years. And from what I heard, it was kind of like when she knew when the classes would let out and the kids would be walking through like this area called like the campus green, where she performed near this large peace sculpture near the library. And she would wave her flags and get on her megaphone, and she had you know, even an amplifier sometimes. And they kind of just let her do her thing there for many, many years. And she was clamoring for revolution because she believed that universities and revolutions is where, you know, you can inspire the students to get activated to, you know, to start their own kind of movement.
It's such a dramatic moment of history for you to to tackle, you know, in this piece Change, and also just to bring awareness of one woman's life, you know, and, you know, her final act or protest.
Yeah.
I mean, those are huge topics, what you just described now.
Yes,
and you're using movement and text and, you know, visuals to tell her story. Is that correct? Are you telling her story? Is it all from her perspective?
So I am playing Kathy, and the script is kind of a combination between, I guess you would call it biographical as well, and docudrama and fantasy. A lot of the text has come directly from Kathy's, either the transcription of the interview with her and Brendan, or the words in the performance part of it are transcriptions of her actual performance. I was able to contact one of her friends, Mary Thorne Gabriel, who gave me a video of Kathy performing on the museum, Philadelphia Museum of Art, where she used to perform very regularly with a bunch of different artists back in the late 80s, early 90s. So I have had some access to seeing her performances and her style of performance. So the story is an amalgam of performance reenactments, psychological kind of moments of her kind of descendants or ascendants. And it kind of takes place in the last year of her life.
Okay.
So it's part fantasy, part reality, part psychological, part narrative, part transcription, you know. Susie did a fair bit of the writing and structuring, and so there's some scene work in there from some fictional characters that we kind of like created from a combination of people that were in her life. So the only two actual real characters are Brendan and Kathy.
Well, I love your journalistic take on all this too, and going back and doing the research that you've done to create this this piece of art. I'm Dee Mae Roberts, stage and studio, with my guest Sumi Kim, who is in Portland to perform Change, a collaboration with Susie Takahashi as part of Boom Art Season. Previews this Thursday, December 7th, and runs December 8th, 9th, and 10th at the Headwaters Theater. That's located at 55 Northeast Farragut, Farragut Street in Portland. All performances are 7:30 p.m. with post-show discussions to follow. The show's on the 8th, 9th, and 10th. And tickets are available at boomarts.org or by calling 866-811-4111. And, you know, you're actually performing with some local folks too, like the artistic director of Polaris Dance Theater. Is that Robert Gitron?
Yeah.
Gitron? As a guest performer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Are there other Portland artists involved too?
No, just Robert.
Yeah.
But I have, two cast members with me from New York, Joanne Lee and Zeke Stewart.
Wow, they came all the way with you. So
yes,
you have a whole company. This is awesome. This is awesome.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering, you know, if you can tell us about, like, the post-show discussions. What are you going to be talking about? Do you know? Okay, so there's people invited.
No.
And I'm sure it'll be interesting.
No, I think that there's so many, that this piece brings up so many amazing,
I would think,
like,
it would,
you were saying,
yes,
huge topics that there might be some conversations about, you know, political theater, about Kathy's life, about, you know, we haven't talked actually about her involvement in the Asian American theater scene in
San
Francisco.
Please,
tell us. Yeah, Kathy had kind of like two different lives in her adulthood. And in her early 20s, she was married to Frank Chin, prominent
Chinese-American
playwright. And they were married and were part of the burgeoning Asian American theater movement in San Francisco. So, but she was acting and she was helping with, you know, the tasks of running a company and training. And I was able to talk to some of the founding, you know, company members that gave me some information about Kathy during that time. And when she left San Francisco and headed east and ended up in Philadelphia, her circle of friends in Philadelphia were kind of more on the fringe and kind of more political, or poets and different artists that were very, very separate from her life in San Francisco. So I've kind of been able to have conversations with both sides, East and West Coast, life.
Right.
And they don't intersect at all. So they don't really know about each other's lives. And it's been
That's kind of true of many people, though, especially when you wear a lot of different hats.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people see you in one community and they don't necessarily know about this other community.
Right.
So it's great that you can are you tying it all together in change, in the peace change?
I touch on it, but not really. Like I said, it's mostly kind of about the last year of her life.
The last year of her life, yeah. Is there a particular scene or moment from that show that particularly moves you?
Yes, actually. I mean, several moments do, but so Kathy's mother, she lost her mother when she was a young teen. Her mother committed suicide and Kathy found her. So, you know, that's a really tragic, heartbreaking aspect of her and her
but
life.
But it sets a framework for what she does later,
Yeah. I mean, and she was and kind of predisposed to depression and mania. And so she actually had also attempted suicide a few times. But there's this kind of spiritual aspect, or psychological and spiritual aspect, about this piece, which is kind of the mother figure. And so, you know, it's kind of, I feel like it was Kathy's wish to kind of reunite with her mother in a way. And so we'll have to come see the show to see it, but there is some interaction in that world.
Well, you do have a video trailer of it, which is very moving, and it shows a lot of different aspects of the production that that you move through a lot of changes in change, right? I'm also really it shows like the unique quality of your work, you know, that you've developed, that this is really your style, Sumi Kim style, you know, that you're developing, that you have developed, you know, to create this new original work. And I'm really pleased that you're going to be passing on some of your skills and what you've learned about devising new work in a workshop that we're actually collaborating sort of with.
Yeah.
I'm just sort of telling people about it for through Theater Diaspora.
Yeah.
But it's a POC only performance workshop that is on December 9th, and that's donation only, and it includes a free ticket, I guess, to your show, Change, and that is going to be about devising new work. Do you want to tell a little bit about it?
Sure.
Yeah.
So I guess in my experience as a theater artist, having worked with experimental theater company called XP Girl, which Susie was a part of also, she was like one of the founding members, and I was a company member, we devised and created work together collaboratively as an all-female troupe. And then sort of into my, I guess, investigation with movement and choreography and text and rhythm and music with Jen Hsu when I created Dictée, all of that sort of led to, I guess, my own style of devising, or ways that I've come up with devising work. And so we'll be exploring some of those things.
That's exciting.
With the actors.
Great to learn, you know, a new style, too, and especially one that you've developed. And I think it's important, too, the reason it's for people who identify as persons of color is that, you know, especially when you're in Portland, when you're in Oregon, and, you know, I don't think people realize the amount of stress that it is to be a POC here. You know, and it's nice to have sort of spaces where it's kind of stress free from that, you know, and that you can just be whatever culture that you are, whatever race that you are, without having to explain it, you know. So I think that's something that I think is an important thing. And, you know, any POC artist that's listening right now, you know, that workshop is December 9th, 1 to 4 p.m. at Sunnyside Community House. That's located at 3520 Southeast Yamhill Street in Portland. It's one block from Southeast Belmont at 34th Street. And I guess it has easy bus access. And the workshop is for performers who identify as people of color, and it's about devising work. And you can register for the donation only workshop at boomarts.org, and I have that link at stageandstudio.org and kboo.fm/stageandstudio, as well as information about Sumi Kim's show Change. And I'm going to give that one more time. She's presenting the world premiere of a newly the world premiere of a newly updated version of Change, co-created by Sumi Kim and Susie Takahashi. Takashi. And the show runs for previews on this Thursday, December 7th, and then December 8th, 9th, and 10th at Headwaters Theater, located at 55 Northeast Farragut Street in Portland. And more info at boomarts.org or stageandstudio.org or kbu.fm/stageandstudio. You know, in the time remaining, you know, it's been great getting to know you, by the way. You know, I'm looking forward to seeing your show and also participating in the workshop. Mm-hmm. But perhaps, you know, is there any final words you want to give about Kathy Change or about Change the piece itself or any responses that you've gotten from the prior performances?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think that people are happy to have been introduced to her story and are very moved by it and are kind of like, you know, unfortunately, there's a bit of sadness that goes along with it. I mean, I hope it's an entertaining piece as well, because she was quite a character. But I think the sadness goes along with the fact that the feeling of change is the way she would have desired and hoped for her future has kind of gone the opposite way. So, but one thing I do like to do is have copies of her writings and her poetry and her political writings to like distribute to the audience after the show.
Oh, I'm so glad. Yeah. And I'm eager to learn more about her at your show, Change. It's been great talking with you, Sumi. Thank you for coming here today.
Thank you.
Perhaps you can come back for my little China girl next time.
Oh, yeah, that would be great.
Before we go today, I want to do a shout out for Passant Art Theater's production of Black Nativity. It's a celebration and retelling of the Nativity story set to gospel music. And the show runs through December 17th at the Greater St. Stephen Missionary Baptist Church. And last year, I featured Jerry Foster, artistic director of Passant Art, and he had this to say about the music of Black Nativity.
The tambourines, the drums, the piano, it was just a small church, but it was the voices that really carried the services themselves. And to see people in the summertime just leaning in the windows, you know, the windows open, because we didn't have our air conditioning.
To listen.
Exactly. We didn't have our air conditioning. No, we have fans. You know, we had little hand fans or whatever you get yourself, use to fan yourself off with. But it was a great experience. And so that is what we wanted to replicate here. Is a great experience.
Black Nativity runs through December 17th, Friday, Saturday, and Sundays at Greater St. Stephen's Missionary Baptist Church, located at 3605 Northeast Mallory Avenue in Portland. Tickets at passantart.net. That's it for Stage and Studio. You can hear it again at stageandstudio.org or kbu.fm/stageandstudio or on iTunes or like us on facebook.com/stage_studio or tweet me at @stage_studio. Till next time, I'm Dee Mae Roberts. We're going out with a beautiful song sung live last year from cast member Tanetta Martin of Passant Art Theater's Black Nativity.
Sweet little Jesus boy, they made you be born in a manger, Lord. Sweet little holy child, didn't know who.